All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Let's bring on Steve Tasker, sideline reporter for the NFL on CBS. Good morning, Steve. How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing?
We're doing good, Steve. How's everything with you, man? You get another Dolphins game out of this thing.
That's correct. I do. I was just listening to you give the. I was guessing you guys give the traffic updates. You know, we don't have traffic updates in Buffalo for some reason.
Really?
Why that is.
No, man, come on. Come on, you have to.
I'm telling you.
Well, we've got like real crappy traffic between Dade and Broward County going in and out of Miami. It's just very slow. So,
Steve, we're on the radio. He's being nice with his words there.
Yeah.
Okay, because it could be a lot worse when he's talking about the traffic down here in Miami. A lot worse. Nightmare is a good word for it.
Bro, there's a lot worse things to complain about than traffic here in Buffalo.
Yeah. Listen, we do from time to time, too. So, hey, Steve, we're right there with you. Hey, Steve, I got to tell you, man, Steve had dinner with us a couple weeks ago. And, Steve, you fit right in, man. You were right with the group, man. That was awesome having you with the whole gang.
And you guys didn't torture Steve that night?
Oh, Bo Camper. Right. Bo Camper's the only one that was going.
Oh, yeah.
Much to my chagrin, it turns out there's a lot of really nice people working for the Dolphins.
Hey, Steve, so many different things to get to. I want to ask you about this Le'Veon Bell. This is the weirdest thing. Now he's in Pittsburgh, apparently working out, but hasn't reached out to the team. I just wonder what the team's thinking at this point. Do they got a pretty good idea that he's coming in, or is it just what do they think with Le'Veon Bell, and how's this thing go the last half of the season?
They're just waiting to see what he does. I don't think there's any question he'll come in. I think they really fully expect him to come in right at the last minute of his deadline to get the year in. And for those who don't know, if he doesn't come in, he's still a Pittsburgh Steeler throughout the year, and they can do whatever they want with him. He's going to come in. He'll start suiting up, or probably be on the roster, and they won't suit him up, won't activate him. They'll see how the team accepts him, how he fits in, what his frame of mind is. You know, they'll just do a whole once-over, the whole situation, once he's in there, how it's going to go. I don't think there's any question. I think a lot of us believe, you know, Le'Veon Bell mishandled this entire thing. If he wants to make a statement about it, I guess that's one thing. If he's willing to throw away $14.5 million making a statement about the system, God bless him, but I think he completely mishandled this entire situation because his value is going down, not up, with the way Connor's playing.
Steve, how do you think that locker room is like, all the rest of the players? I know that once you get in there and it's a big team thing and rah, 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 but he's missed a lot of games this season. James Connor's played really well at that position. Obviously, he's not Le'Veon Bell, but he's played good. But what do you think the vets on that team think of Le'Veon Bell right now?
Well, I don't think he's going to get a warm reception. I mean, I'm sure the guys, I mean, he's friends with most of those guys or has been. I'm sure that they're a little shocked at how he's handling this. They'll do their best. I mean, they're going to set everything aside because for the good of the game, you know, for the game they've got to play this week and for the atmosphere in their workplace and all that, they'll do their best to give him a big hug and say, you know, and ask him what's going on, you know, try and get the scoop from him about what he's thinking, what he has been thinking and all of that. But there's no doubt that while he's not there, you know, there are warm fuzzies for them going around. They're trying to win games in a tough division. So I think once he gets in there, I think you're right. I think they'll say, okay, now let's see. They'll probably do a big reevaluation of what their relationship is with him, each of them. You know, what are you doing? Why did you do it? What's going on? What's your agent telling you? What did the team say? And they'll go from there. But I think while there might be some quiet conversations with him about seriously what he's thinking about doing, I think these guys have got more important things on their plate right now with the second half of the season coming up.
Steve, a lot of people think this Dez Bryant thing will be real smooth transition going into the New Orleans Saints. You agree with that? That's a good fit for Dez for second half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a chance at it. I mean, they'll give him some opportunities. I don't think there's any question he's not going to be able to complain about the opportunities he gets. I think Dez is going to have a long road ahead of him. This is an offense, and you guys know how this is. You get into the season, your offense evolves week to week, and it's hard to catch up, and there's no slowing down for it, man. You got a game on Sunday, you got to get ready for it. You got a game on Monday, you got to get ready for it. There's no stopping and going back and helping this guy get up. He's going to put in long hours and hard work trying to assimilate the offense. And I'm sure, you know, they'll start small and give them just a package of plays to learn and start feeding them that way, and then they'll expand on it. I don't know that that was his strength when he was at Dallas, being able to pick up the offense and run a lot of different route combinations and read defense and that kind of thing. I think in Dallas they handled him a little bit different than that, and it'll be interesting to see how Sean Payton assimilates him into the offense.
Steve, Dolphins this week, not a big transition in quarterback. You can keep the same game plan in there for Sam Darnold and Aaron Rodgers, right?
Let me tell you something. If you guys get 4 sacks and 4 interceptions on Aaron Rodgers, you can retire as a winner. If you can bet that's not going to happen. I mean, that he's for real, man. He's still playing good. Now, they're not a great team without him. I'll say that. They're not a juggernaut unless Aaron Rodgers is the guy in there pulling the trigger. But if he is, they are tough to beat. You see some of the throws he makes and the type of throws he makes. And for most people who don't understand, they think, you know, he's got a strong arm. He can throw it all over the field. Yeah, that's true. But there's also times where he throws it with the correct velocity. That means he throws it down the field and it throws over one guy and drops down inside the coverage to his receiver in front of another defender. I've seen him throw things to the sideline as he's scrambling up through the pocket. He doesn't turn his shoulders towards the target. He doesn't turn his hips towards the target. He almost throws it across his body and doesn't even look. It doesn't even look right. Like he looks at his receiver, and it's on him. He can manipulate defenders with his eyes, but where he looks, he has no problem looking completely the opposite direction before he turns and slings it the other direction. It really puts a lot of pressure on a defense. And unless you can get him to move around, hopefully while you're getting him to move around, he can't throw the football for a touchdown. I mean, that's basically what you're looking at. The guy really does it all. He's a special, unique talent. And he's a handful. He makes their team a playoff contender when otherwise they would not be in that conversation.
Steve, we've had another situation down here with Rashad Jones, who was supposed to be in a rotation last week to get Minka Fitzpatrick more involved on the defense after they struggled the past couple of weeks. So Rashad gets a little upset when he goes out of the game. He doesn't come back in the game. We don't see that a lot in the league. You ever deal with any of that with any Buffalo guys once they were taken out of the game, going, I ain't going back in, that's it? Have you ever heard of that?
Not when I was playing. And interestingly enough, you know, we had the Vontae Davis retirement at halftime.
Well, that's true. That's brand new too. You're right.
Right. We're in unsullied waters here. I don't know. We're in unfamiliar waters with these guys doing that. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm surprised that he didn't say something during the week. I'm sure, you know, Joe, that there's no way that got sprung on him out of the blue. He had to see that coming.
Correct.
I don't know why you wait to the game to do that. I'm sure, and Adam Gase has said, you know, they had a meeting and they're on the same page now. And I'll tell you this too. I would be surprised if, you know, a strong personality in that locker room didn't take that guy aside and say, hey man, you can't do that on game day. That doesn't fly. I mean, if you're supposed to be in there and they're rotating in, that's what we do. You know, somebody needs to take him aside and fill him in on that. Minka Fitzpatrick is a great talent, a talented kid, and is earning the spot to play. And if you don't want him rotated in there, you guys got to play better. Now, maybe Rashad thinks he hasn't been the problem with their issues on pass defense, and he shouldn't be the one that's rotated out. Maybe there's a problem there, but nevertheless, that's not done on game day. But still, you learn from it, you move forward, and,
right.
And I'm sure that that's water under the bridge now, and you go from there. So if Gase is all right with it, and the teammates are all right with it, and they put it behind them, then I'm good with that.
Steve Tasker, sideline reporter for the NFL on CBS. Real quickly before we're going to let you go, we talk about Brady and we talk about Rodgers all the time, the two, you know, two best probably in the game right now. How come Drew Brees is always third or not even in that conversation?
I have no idea why that is, because he is unbelievable.
He is.
His numbers, you know, there's been seven seasons where a quarterback has thrown for 5,000-plus yards. He has five of them.
Jeez.
Five of them. and the other two are by two different guys. Dan's one of them, you know? I mean, this guy has put together a career like none other statistically, and he did it for two different teams. And it's interesting, too, and I'll share this with you before we go. When he was young and in San Diego, San Diego Chargers drafted him, and after 1 or 2 years, they were pretty sure Drew Brees could not play, and they drafted Phillip Rivers, or they drafted Eli Manning and traded him for
Phillip
Rivers.
That's right.
And they let, and then you remember there was a funky thing right at the last game of the season where Drew Brees went down with a shoulder injury, and they were trying to make that decision. And that kind of shoulder injury decided, well, that's going to be the tipping point. We're going to go with Phillip Rivers. Drew Brees is a free agent. I'll tell you this. When they drafted and brought Phillip Rivers in, that changed Drew Brees. He went from being a college kid to a real pro. He realized for the first time that he was expendable as an athlete. And it changed his mindset about how he was going to prepare, how he was going to be the quarterback of the Chargers, what he was going to mean for him to be the guy and not to come off the field. And it changed his approach. And because of that, he became this guy, Drew Brees. And I think it's interesting that sometimes not only do you have to draft a quarterback to get better for the team, you got to draft two of them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Drew Brees, and he's carried that all the way through his career to this point.
Steve, thanks for not mentioning what happened in between San Diego and New Orleans, where the Dolphins had a choice of Drew Brees or Dante Culpepper.
Yep.
So thank you for not bringing that up, because Dolphin fans are bringing it up right now. Thank you.
Every coach who lost their job after that will tell you they wanted Brees too, and they
Hugh Jackson just said it also. Yeah. Hugh Jackson too.
Yeah, Nick Saban's saying that somewhere as he's kicking everybody's butt in college.
Remember, Greg Williams was the coach of Buffalo. He said that same thing. Also, it was Greg telling you that he'd still be coaching the Buffalo Bills if it weren't for them not letting him get Drew Brees.
Goodness gracious. At least someone else lives the nightmare we live. That's good.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, guys, take it easy. All thanks right. for having
See me. See you this weekend. Thank
Steve
you, buddy.
Steve Tasker, sideline reporter for the NFL and CBS.